Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hiya, folks. You're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 118 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on August the 15th, 2016. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Orlando universe beyond it. My name is Kevin Kessler, and I am joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Kevin Kessler.
Hey, Pete.
What's up?
We are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day, and we want to share that magic with you. So pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones, and let's experience the magic together. Pete!
Kevin.
How you doing?
I'm good. I feel like I haven't seen you in like a month.
Yeah, it's been 3 weeks, I think, since we've done the show. So
that's insane.
I gotta apologize to everybody for that. Entirely my fault. 2 weeks ago, I wasn't feeling that great, so we pushed off the show. And then last week, I started a new job. It's not like Disney related or anything, but you know, it was my first day on the job, so I said to Pete, we gotta just push it back because I'm still kind of, you know, falling into my schedule. That being said, I just wanted to like kind of put it out as like a little public service announcement. I've been getting a lot of people like now that have been kind of like, oh, well, you know, when we're there, we want to use you for Uber, or like messaging the page and stuff like that. I'm really not doing it anymore.
Oh, really? That's kind of I want to say good, right?
Yeah, no, it's great because I hated doing it, but yeah, like I'm just with my the way my schedule is now. Like, you know, I work Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, so.
Does know. This mean you're going to give all these people rides for free now?
No. Oh. It means, I don't know what it means, but, you know, just I don't do that anymore.
Well, I think that's a good thing.
Okay, so first, before we get into the show proper, a little mousekeeping to get out of the way. Folks, if you are an Amazon shopper doing any shopping on Amazon.com, we ask you to first go to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com. Click the Amazon link at the top of the page. It takes you to the same Amazon page you've always gone to. Only the White Dragon Podcast Network gets a small percentage back of what you buy. Also, folks, please check out our Facebook Disney discussion group over at Facebook.com/groups/Two Men and the Mouse. Okay, so you ready to jump into the news?
Yeah, let's do it. I feel like I've been Disney-free for a couple weeks.
I know. The news this week brought to you by Dave Weichert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. Okay, so all right, so we got some worldwide news this week, Pete.
Let's go wide.
All right, so let's go broad with the worldwide news. All right, so worldwide news. There is a pass holder friends and family deal currently going on. It started on August 12th, and it's going through September the 30th. So what is that, you might ask?
I do ask.
For if you are a friend or family member of an annual pass holder, they can go to the ticket window on the day of your visit and purchase for you a single-day park hopper pass. Now, normally those cost you a whopping $160, but for the time period, you can get it for, wait for it, $79 plus tax.
Okay.
So it's half off a single-day park hopper if you are friends with an annual pass holder.
Look at Disney creating friendships everywhere.
Exactly. I'm assuming I'm going to get a lot of new friends very soon. Also, in worldwide news, there is a new free Walt Disney World planning DVD that just came out last month.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I have not. I think now it's like you don't have to like just send away for it. You can actually just like get a digital download of it.
Oh yeah, but I have to have a DVD of it.
Yeah, I think I'm good with a digital download. I mean, I haven't seen any of it yet, but, I mean, let's face it, it's not going to be what we want it to be.
No, of course not.
Especially because, you know, I'm kind of friends with her now, and I know that she wasn't there. So,
right.
Our good friend Erin Cahill from the 2005 Disney Vacation yep. Planning DVD, who is getting married next month in France.
Oh, congratulations, Erin.
Yes, to her fiancé, who is, like, my favorite person in the world.
I like that. You should marry him.
Don't tempt me, Peter Mandel.
I mean, he's your favorite. You
yeah,
know?
I mean, you know, he's awesome. Okay, moving along. Disney Springs news. They have recently opened up Blaze Pizza in Disney Springs over in the new town center area. Have you heard about Blaze Pizza?
Well, we have a Blaze Pizza in Clark now. So,
oh, is it the same? Like, it's also Blaze? Because my brother told me about the Clark.
I'm assuming Blaze is a.
It's like a thing.
It's a franchise. So, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So the way it is, folks, it's basically the Chipotle of pizza. It's a assembly line. You order your crust and your cheese and your sauce and your toppings, and they put it into this oven where they flash cook it in like 180 seconds.
Yep, that's pretty much how it works. You go down the line just like
It's an 11-inch like personal size pizza. I think it costs like it's about comparable to a Chipotle burrito. It's like I think somewhere between like $7.50 and $10 depending on what you get.
Yeah, I don't remember how much it was, but it's pretty good.
Do they charge more for guac is the question.
Huh, I don't know.
I'm sure they do. rather than Chipotle, I found Moe's to be very good.
Yeah, everyone loves Moe's. I wish I had a Moe's closer to me.
Yeah, like back when I worked in the Palisades, like there was a Moe's, like there were a bunch of Moe's up there. So like I used to go for like Moe Mondays.
Right. Yeah, people seem to prefer Moe's.
Moe's is better because they also not only is it not as like pretentious as Chipotle, like Chipotle has that cilantro lime rice, which I can't stand. Like I don't like lime in my rice. Like
I don't mind it actually.
First time I went, I was just like, "Can I get it without the lime?" They're like, "No, this is the only rice we have." And I was just like, "Well, okay." But no, they have queso blanco sauce there too, which is unbelievable.
Oh, that sounds good.
There's a Moe's in Universal Studios.
Oh, really?
And in the City Walk area, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
When you go up to the City Walk, there is a there's a Moe's, and then there is a Burger King that they call the Whopper Bar.
Now, let me ask you a question. Let's say you go there, right, at City Walk.
Yeah.
Is it more expensive? Like if you go to Fridays in Times Square, it's I don't know, three times the price of Fridays by your house.
I mean, I didn't notice a difference in, like, a Burger King or a Moe's, but I haven't been there in a while.
Right.
I mean, the restaurants there are not cheap.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm saying, like, you know, is Burger King selling, like,
you know, mean, then again, like, I went to the Hard Rock.
99-cent burgers?
I went to the Hard Rock with a couple friends, like almost a year ago, and, I mean... I'm trying to, like, yeah, it was about comparable to other Hard Rocks, so.
Yeah, Hard Rock kind of is like a touristy restaurant, though.
Yeah, so but I mean, listen, like, I always tell people, if you're going to Universal, don't eat in the parks. Eat at City Walk, because City Walk actually has some good places to eat, and the in-park food is, I'm sorry, it's not good.
It isn't good, I know.
No, and you I'm know, oh, I've been meaning to tell you this for months. You were right about the Harry Potter no soda thing.
Oh, yeah?
You
I thought
totally
so.
100% right.
Oh, man. Weird, right? But, I mean, I get what they're going for. And, honestly, it doesn't matter because that Potter Park will sell everything. But
right.
I think it was weird.
Months and months ago, I ended up eating at the Leaky Cauldron.
Right.
And, like, I was so, like, thirsty. I was so parched. And I got up there, and I realized there were no soft drinks. Couldn't even get a seltzer water. I had to order apple cider with my sausage sandwich.
Oh.
It was not a good combination. So I blame I blame our British audience for that.
Interesting.
Thanks a lot, guys. It's all revenge for the 4th of July. Okay, so in resort news, Disney's Yacht Club is seeing an expansion of its convention center. Now, this convention center, I know this means nothing to you. This convention center is already 73.
Believe it or not, it does. A friend of mine is going to Yacht Club in a couple months and received a letter saying that they will be doing construction. And he, like, freaked out on me.
It's
so, like, now he doesn't want to go.
Oh,
and I'm like,
You know what? The convention center is, like, on the side. It's, like, not really part of the main.
So I told him. I got that same letter one time for Beach Club. And I was like, listen, as long as they don't tell me it's the pool, like, we're going.
No.
I don't think I saw any construction the entire time I was there.
You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, because, like, I remember I dropped a friend off at the Yacht Club one time. We walked through the convention center. The Yacht Club, yeah, the convention center is off to the left of the main resort. Like, you don't even, there's nothing that you have to go to over there, I don't think.
Right.
Unless I'm mistaken, but, you know. So, yeah, the convention center is already 73,000 square feet. It has a 3,600 square feet ballroom and seats 2,800 for dinner. This expansion will take the convention center into an existing parking lot.
Okay.
So it's going to be a sizable expansion. It's not like we're adding a new bathroom.
Right. Good for them.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I wouldn't mind going to a convention at the Yacht Club.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to go to a convention in Orlando, you might as well.
Although everyone I know says the opposite.
Really?
Because you actually have to do stuff. So you're there and it kind of stinks.
Oh, you know what? I could see that. I used to pick people up when I was Ubering from like the convention centers all the time. And or I'd pick them up from like the Swan and Dolphin and I'd be like, oh, you having fun here at Disney? They're like, I haven't seen Disney. I've been in a convention center for 3 days.
Yeah, I can remember when we were young, one of my friends, she's involved in books, and they were having their convention in Disney at Coronado, I think. And she was so excited. We had actually gone to Disney together. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, she came home. I was like, how was it? And she's like, it stunk. Like, every day by the time you got out, like, maybe a park was open for another hour or so, mm-hmm. but you were exhausted and, like, you didn't really get to go do anything. I'm like, oh, awesome.
In water park news, we have some information on the new Typhoon Lagoon ride that is coming. It is called Miss Fortune's Falls.
Okay.
It's a family raft ride, and it's going to be the longest Disney water ride of all time in a water park, not like counting like Splash Mountain and stuff like that. It clocks in at 2 minutes long.
Okay. That's pretty long.
Yep, and I have some info on it, if you'd like to hear.
I would like.
Okay. Okay, so Miss Fortune's Falls... brings to life the story of fictitious Captain Mary Oceaneer, a treasure-hunting heroine who got stranded at Typhoon Lagoon years ago by a rogue storm. Disemboweled by natives, her flesh devoured by the... No, I'm kidding. once aboard their treasure rafts awaiting them at the ride's entry point, guests will embark on a journey through Captain Oceaneer's past before plunging into a whitewater adventure where guests can see the unique artifacts that Captain Mary Oceaneer collected on her many treasure hunts around the world. So,
all right, that sounds pretty cool.
Actually, like, are they doing like a dark ride? Like, is that what this is?
You know, I mean, how often have we talked in the last couple months about, you know, re-envisioning the water
parks,
park
yeah.
concept?
You know what? That might need to be like a thing that we do for an e-ticket in the future. Like, do like a whole, like, let's reimagine here the water parks and, you know, see what we
I would love
with.
To do that. I'm telling you, I feel like they could do.
They could, especially, and listen, dude, I drive by that Volcano Bay every day on the way to work.
Right, you said it's going to be awesome. Right?
I'm not big into water parks, but, dude, this looks awesome. Like, from I-4, you have a full view of the volcano, which at the moment is, like, it's just, like, steel at the moment. Like,
right.
In the shape of a triangle. But they're starting to build the rocks, like, around it to make it look like a volcano. And, dude, it's going to look unbelievably awesome. And you can see, because you can see inside of it because of all the steel, you can see the slides that are, like, wrapped around inside of it.
That's pretty cool.
It's so cool, dude. You have no idea. I can't wait for that. I'm totally going. I got to convince my friends to go to water parks, though, because water parks are not a solitary activity.
Yeah, no, there's no way you could do that.
No, like, you could swing going to Magic Kingdom or Universal or something like that. You could swing that by yourself. Water park is tough. You know? We are going to take a break right here. We are going to take a quick commercial break.
Okay.
Hear from our wonderful sponsors and the rest of the White Dragon Podcast Network, and then we'll be back with the rest of our news topic here this week on Two Men and the Mouse. So stay tuned, folks. More Two Men and the Mouse coming at you right after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier and makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
You gave them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weicker autograph books.
Of course.
Well, Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weicker.
Depends how his name on.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weichert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse. If you and your family are taking a trip to the Orlando area this year, your little ones deserve to stroll in style. Lugging a stroller from home can be an annoying and frustrating part of the first leg of your journey. And renting those hard plastic strollers from Disney theme parks can be both costly and uncomfortable for your kids. Well, I'm here to tell you about the solution to your child transport problems, and that's Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is a Disney-featured stroller and crib provider that does exactly what you're looking for at a great price. Not only is it less expensive than renting a stroller from the theme parks themselves, but these are padded luxury models with features like drink holders, canopies, storage baskets, and more. What's more, you keep this stroller with you for your entire trip, whereas park-rented strollers, you got to return them before you leave the park that day. This is going to make those late-night post-fireworks bus stop queues so much easier, and dad's shoulders are going to thank you for it. So, how does it work? You just go to kingdomstrollers.com and make your selection on the stroller or crib that's right for your child. Just let the good folks over there know a great time for delivery and pickup and where you'll be staying. You can pick your stroller or crib up from the luggage stand at your resort and then drop them back off there at the end of your stay. So pack light, leave your stroller at home, and save up to a whopping 50% versus park price stroller rentals when you visit kingdomstrollers.com. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving things that you dream of in The Wisdom of Walt, and put Walt to work for you. The experts told Walt Disney that it would never work. A giant theme park where parents and children could play together? Crazy. So Walt put all of his money into this crazy dream of his. He put his reputation on the line, and anyone else would have quit, discouraged and disillusioned. But Walt Disney built Disneyland. So how did he go from dreaming to doing? And how can you do the same, no matter what your goal? In The Wisdom of Walt, Professor Jeffrey Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, Barnes creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. In The Wisdom of Walt, you'll learn to listen to your Walter ego and start trusting yourself, go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland success, make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet, and create e-ticket experiences that keep coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available in four different modes: hardcover, paperback, ebook, and audiobook, and it has been the number one bestseller on Amazon in five different categories, including theme parks and personal success in business. To pick up your copy of The Wisdom of Walt today, go to Amazon.com or check out thewisdomofwalt.com. With The Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away.
Hi there, this is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
And we are back. I feel bad. I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show that we were doing an all-news episode. So people might have been like, wait, what? They're taking a break now? But
There's a lot of news.
There's a lot of news. It requires an entire episode. I know, like, there's people that tell me all the time, like, oh, you could do the show for 3 hours, you won't care. I would care, because that's a lot of time. So
it's totally our fault. And by ours, I mean totally Kevin's fault.
This is very true.
But thank God for employment.
I'll drink to that. Okay, so Magic Kingdom news. Elena of Avalor was welcomed to the Magic Kingdom. She's a new princess in town.
Okay.
The first Hispanic princess.
Correct.
Latin American princess. I guess what is it? It's a show on...
It is a show, which is the only part I've taken part in. I've watched the show.
Okay, how is... I didn't realize the show was on yet.
It is. It's okay.
They rolled the character out fast.
You know, obviously, especially with the lack of depth of character here... You know, this was something that was pre-planned. I think they've had so many problems with, you know, rolling out Sophia the First and seeing if it works and then coming up with a character, you know, months later that you can meet. I think this was their first time. They were like, we're going to create a new character who's also going to be in the parks at the same time. It's going to be a big launch.
Is the Abster, like, completely in love with the show?
Well, she thinks it's okay. My daughter has really, like, moved into the live-action Disney shows. Oh. The Live It Maddie, like, you know,
Girl
that
Meets
kind
World?
Of show. Well, she had no choice. She loves Girl Meets World.
I mean, who wants not to love?
Yeah. I mean...
That show's awesome.
She loves that show. But, you know, I got to tell you, like, I watch a lot of these shows with her. Austin Alley, I've seen a lot of...
I haven't watched any of that. The only one I've watched is Girl Meets World.
You know, I got to tell you something. They're not bad. Like, if you were stuck watching a show with an 8-year-old, mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, you know what? These shows are actually kind of funny. So I'm like,
yeah. It's not like you have to watch Blue's Clues. It's
right.
You know,
I'm not stuck on Teletubbies.
Exactly. And the beauty of these things, I feel like they put in things for the parents also because they know that they have to watch them.
Right. Yeah. Totally.
Like when my brother was a kid, like, and that's why Sesame Street has always been ahead of the curve because, you know, they always had. What do you call it? Like adult jokes for the parents.
Right.
Not like adult, like whoa, but like, you know, like jokes that adults will get that'll go over kids' heads.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's like that Henson. By the way, did you see what they just did? Like, after 45 years, they just cut loose Carlos, Bob, and Gordon.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't
see
that.
And no, it wasn't like they retired. Like, they were asked to not come back.
They gave him, like, the A-Rod treatment.
They gave him, yeah, well, you know.
Except
they never did, you know, steroids.
Or got paid $200 million.
Yeah, so. But, you know, at the end of the day, when did, like, I think Dimitri from Extra Magic Hour posted this the other day. He was just like, when did A-Rod become a good guy? Did I miss something? Because, like, all of a sudden, everybody's all about the A-Rod.
I'll tell you when he became a good guy. Because it's only about numbers in that game. So when he hit 33 home runs last year,
okay,
everyone was like, oh, look, he's pretty good. We love him.
We don't care where the strength comes from.
Right.
Anyway. But, yeah, like, they kicked him right to the curb. Like, to the point where I was just like, man, could I finagle, like, enough of an angle to, like, interview Bob and Gordon on the show, but I don't think
he
could.
Really? Like, after, like, a fallout?
Like, I would love it if Bob, like, Bob sat down with us and was just like, all right, Kevin and Pete, I'm going to tell you a bit about the Children's Television Workshop. brought to you by the symbol dollar sign. Like,
oh, man.
Like, come on, you can't tell me that wouldn't be the greatest thing ever. People be like, it's not Disney. I'm like, listen, Gordon is doing a tell-all.
Yeah, it's going to be on the show.
Gordon is talking like Samuel L. Jackson on the show right now. You're telling me you're not in love with this?
Oh, that'd be crazy.
I know. But here's the thing. Like Maria retired like 2 years ago or something like that, which I actually have interviewed her before.
I remember when you interviewed her. It was a big moment.
It was a huge moment for me.
Yeah.
But I Maria retired, but like Carlos was still like, or like, is it Carlos or Luis? I think it's Luis was her husband.
Okay.
But he was still there because he was in the group that just got canned. So I'm like, well, where did they say she went without her husband?
Seriously.
Yeah. But like, I remember that interview, like, we're sitting there and she's just like, she's like, yeah, well, she's like, you know, people never even really think that my name's not Maria. And I was like, yeah, I could see that. She goes, yeah, like, she's like, you know, and people are always just so surprised when they find out that, you know, Luis and I aren't really married. And I went, I'm sorry, you're not? Like, like, it never occurred. Like, I realized it was just one of those things. Like, you know, sometimes you hear things when you're kids and you just, you know, question it. And you never think about it again until it somehow jogs into your brain when you're an adult.
Right.
And you're like, I remember, like, my uncle, we used to, like play fight with my uncle when we were kids. And he would, like, you know, he'd put you in a full Nelson. And he'd be like, oh, this is the super hold that, like, none of your cousins were ever able to get out of. And then he'd let you out of it.
Right.
And then, like, so at pro wrestling school, we're doing, like shoot fight day, which is, like, where you, like, really fight each other. And it's like learning self-defense and whatnot. And I'm like, well, I mean, I should be pretty good at this. I mean, I got out of that hole that none of my cousins were able to go. Oh. And I'm 22 at that point.
Right.
And like, there's just like things that you just don't question things when you're a kid. But like, you know, I never questioned the fact that, you know, Maria and Luis are married. So. And to be honest, I was surprised when her name was not actually Maria.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Like, you know, if you had a choice between Bob and Gordon, who would you want?
I feel like Bob.
See, I feel like Gordon because I would want to ask him about that scene in Follow That Bird when Big Bird has to jump from the cage onto the car.
Okay.
Because like that's the closest Sesame Street ever got to a act. By the way, there is no finer children's movie outside of Disney than Follow That Bird.
I've never seen it in theater.
Follow That Bird is incredible. Like, it starts with the Grouch and Grouches of the World Unite. It's got such great music. It's got a compelling antagonist with Madam Finch and the two guys that are, like, trying to, like, turn him into a bluebird.
Yeah.
Dude, that bluebird song, that is a sad, sad song.
It is sad.
Like, you're sitting there like, oh my God, like, ugh.
Now, what was the Elmo movie? Remember that one?
Oh, who cares?
That I remember watching that, like, getting it for Ethan when he was little. I'm like, oh, you're going to love this whole movie. It's Elmo. It's when he was, like, a baby.
It's like Elmo in Grouchland or something.
Yeah. No. Didn't love it. He didn't love it.
Did you ever show him Follow That Bird?
Yeah, we watched Follow That Bird when he was a kid.
Of course. It was a great movie. Right. I also loved it, like, when they all set out to, like, go find Big Bird. Like, Oscar didn't care whether or not Big Bird lived or died.
Right,
like, he was just, like, he just kept, like, stopping at, like, Grouch landmarks, and nobody would ride with the Count because he was so annoying.
Yep.
And I loved the Ernie and Bert song when they're flying in the biplane with the upside-down world.
Yep.
It's just a good movie, dude.
It is a good movie.
Every once in a while, like, when I'm, like, driving, like, once, like, and I don't have the radio on, all of a sudden, like, it's, like, country music will, like, hit in my head. I'll just be like, I found out a long time ago. Gotta learn to say yes when life says no. Like, that Waylon Jennings song? Like, come on. Waylon Jennings is singing with Big Bird.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that.
We got way off topic, didn't we?
But it was totally worth it.
Yeah. A good time to talk about Gilmore Girls now. Coming in November.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Okay, so Magic Kingdom news, continuing on. Okay, so this is one that a lot of people are lamenting, but I kind of celebrated it. The Main Street Electrical Parade is coming to an end on October 9th.
Oh.
They have confirmed they are shipping it to Disneyland.
Okay.
Disneyland also announced that the Paint the Night Parade is going down, which everyone here got really excited because they assumed that the Paint the Night Parade was coming here. Not so much. The Paint the Night Parade is staying in Disneyland to be used for holidays and special occasions. Okay. So, that begs the question, what's going on at nighttime in the Magic Kingdom?
Right.
We don't know yet, but now we can assume it is something completely new.
I mean, that sounds good.
I mean, I've heard a lot of people being like, the return of Spectrum Magic. It's not the return of Spectrum Magic.
Right. Yeah, they're probably going to go something original.
It can't be the return of Spectrum Magic because the Spectrum Magic floats are destroyed.
No, even better.
They had stored them, like, improperly, and they got, like, water damage. Like, they were stored over by, like, by Bay Lake, and they got water damaged and, like, air damaged, and they ended up dismantling them all, destroying them, and they actually sold little, like, souvenirs with, like, pieces of the floats in them.
Right.
So. I loved Spectrum Magic, though. You know me and Spectrum Magic.
well, maybe they'll recreate all the floats.
Yeah. I doubt it. It'll probably be something new. And I can't wait, honestly, like, I want something new with modern day technology, you know?
Yeah, you gotta think they could put something awesome together.
Like, at the end of the day, all their nighttime parades have just been rehashes of things they did 20 years ago. Like, with current modern day technology, let Disneyland have our hand-me-downs. Like, I want something new. Belle is going to be meeting people through the end of the month at the Heritage House in the Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
Yeah, which is, like, really random, through August 31st.
Yeah, why?
I don't know. I guess they just wanted another character experience in there for the time being.
Can never have enough character experiences.
They've increased the capacity of bag check due to long lines lately because they've been a lot more thorough with bag check.
Okay.
So now, like, normally, like, when you get off the ferry, like, when you get off the ferry boat and you're walking over, there's the area where you, like, when you look over and you're always like, why can't I just walk in through there? Like, when you're coming from either the ferries or the buses.
Yep.
You know, like, you have to, like, keep walking around and go around the bend and come up the center. Now they've opened up that other area for bag check for people coming from the boats and the buses. If you're coming from the monorail or the resort launches, you go up the center. If you're coming from the buses or the ferry boat, you go to the one on the side.
Okay.
Seasonal changes, and I'm a big fan of this. Seasonal changes are coming for Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair.
Tell me about it.
They are going to be doing changes for autumn and for the holiday season. So as the decor of the Magic Kingdom changes, there will be music and costume changes in Mickey's Royal Friendship Fair.
Okay, that sounds cool.
I'm actually a big fan of that. Like, keeping it fresh, keeping it new, you know, rotating it around.
Yeah, why not, right?
Yeah. Celebrate the Magic is dark for the month of August, resuming operations on August the 31st. Don't get excited. It's not for anything new. It is, they are just upgrading the projectors.
Oh.
But you know what? Celebrate the Magic is something that does change seasonally. Have you ever noticed that?
No, I haven't. I mean,
I was telling a friend, like, you know, like, oh, there's this Under the Sea moment. There's, you know, like, all this other stuff that I saw the other night. And she was like, no, there wasn't. And then, like, we saw it together, and she was just like, oh, wow, yeah, there is.
Huh. Maybe just because it's the type of thing they can really swap out with ease.
Yeah, I mean, how difficult is that? It's just a music change and a change of the projector. So, so yeah, there's, like, a summertime one, and they had, like, Little Mermaid stuff in it, so.
That's pretty cool.
Okay, so ready for the big Magic Kingdom news, the one that I couldn't wait to talk about?
Yes.
The Muppets present great moments in American history coming to the Magic Kingdom, I believe this fall, I believe it is. Pete, this is the Muppets in the Magic Kingdom.
Now, there's been some, you know, speculation.
Yeah, so let's talk. Okay, so, and I love the way that they describe this.
Me too.
Because it says, Sam Eagle is joined by Kermit, Miss Piggy, Fozzie Bear, and Gonzo the Great.
Right, so we want Sam to be the focal point.
It means that he is the host of this show. He is the focal point. He's probably going to narrate it. Now, I've been hearing there were rumors that that's what was going on at the Heritage House, like why the windows there are still all boarded up. I'm assuming you're going to get Muppet puppets or animatronics up in the windows.
Right.
Because the show features Sam, Kermit, Piggy, Fozzie, Gonzo, and everyone's favorite Muppet, James Jefferson, the town crier of Liberty Square. Wait, that's not a Muppet.
Then who is it?
That will probably be an actual live human down on the ground.
Right, it's got to be.
Yeah. So they will show you great moments in American history, like Paul Revere's ride and the signing of the Declaration of Independence, and will take place several times throughout the day. I mean, listen, this is my favorite thing in the world, the Muppets, coming to my favorite park in Disney, the Magic Kingdom, in my favorite land in the Magic Kingdom, Liberty Square.
It is pretty impressive.
This was like somebody was like, Kev, we're throwing you a bone here.
Now, I guess it all comes down to, are they audio animatronics or not?
I'm hoping they're puppets, because honestly, like, I saw like some Disney casting calls recently for puppeteers.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that they're puppets. They're puppets that'll be talking along to a pre-recorded audio.
Right.
I don't want animatronics because I don't feel like the anim... Like, first of all, I don't see them... I think it's much cheaper to hire a puppeteer than and make some puppets than to create a full-blown audio animatronic... To create one, two, three, five audio animatronics.
I agree with you, but that's also saying this show's not going to be long-term.
I mean, it might not be.
Right. But, I mean, this show's not going to be there in 10 years.
I'm probably not.
No, because you would, at that point...
Again, why would you build the audio animatronics for that?
Right. Well, if it was going to be here for a long time, they would do that.
Yeah. That I honestly think... I feel like if you make good, actual, like, film quality Muppets and have them up there, it's even cooler because that's the Muppets.
Right.
Like, I'll geek out. I've never stood in the presence of an actual Muppet before.
It'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you've had, what's his name?
Who? Kermit?
No, Sweetums.
Well, I mean, yeah, but, like, that's, you know.
I know you've sat in the front row sometimes. Just
of course I have. I sat in the front row when my sidekick and I cheered super loud right. for Sweetums, and he came over and gave us high fives.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Like, at the very end. It was late at night. It was the last show. We were the only ones in the theater.
Right.
So Sweetums took some liberties with the script.
Oh, I like that.
Okay, so Epcot news. Ready for your park?
Yep.
The Sum of All Thrills and Stormstruck are closing September the 14th.
Okay.
Right now, I feel like a lot of people are like, what the heck is that?
I can't believe they're closing.
So basically, it was the last vestige of Interventions.
Yep.
The only thing that will be open in that building afterwards will be Colortopia, which I still haven't gone into Colortopia.
Me neither. I literally stuck my head in.
I really don't have a desire to go into Colortopia. I've seen like the sign from afar, but like I only just realized that Sum of All Thrills and Stormstruck were even there.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're closing them on down.
Man, really sad about that.
You got to think, I mean, again, I don't know if they'd announce it at D23 this year or next year, but there's got to be some announcement coming about the revitalization of Future World.
I'd hope so. I mean,
it is a ghost town. You have the entire center with no attractions anymore. You have the Universe of Energy, which is so old and decrepit. Ellen DeGeneres, you walk in there and you're like, wow, Ellen looks so young.
Well, we know that's gone.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. Mission Space. Nobody likes Mission Space.
Listen, when the best attraction in Future World is Mouse Gear, there might be a problem.
Well, I mean, Soarin' is better than Mouse Gear.
I don't know. I really like that Mouse Gear.
I know you do. But yeah, also, there is a new band performing in Germany, in the Germany Pavilion.
Who is it?
They built that new little stage there. Did you see that last time?
Yeah, I did. I saw pictures of it.
Yeah, and there's been like nothing there like since then. They built it a long time ago too. But it is Margaret Almer and the Bavarian Band. It is a yodeling act, Peter Mandel.
Oh.
Yep. So, Vice Principal Lamar Bone will enjoy it.
Nice.
And Fentruck too, because he was a yodeler from you know, his faraway foreign land, which they did name, but I don't remember the name of it. This is some Doug references for you folks right now.
Doug.
We did Sesame Street, and now we're doing Doug.
Yeah, why not?
You know, one of my actual favorite things to do in Disney is, like, if I'm just sitting on a bench, I'll watch just, like, a random guy go by, and in my head, as I'm watching him walk, I'll go, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. If you just do that while you watch people, like, if you hum the Doug theme while you watch people walk, it works.
But you have to be, like, your age bracket.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
We grew up with Doug. We grew up with Doug, and then we even grew up with brand spanking new Doug when it went to Disney. And it was terrible.
Couldn't have been terrible. It was Disney.
It was pretty terrible, Pete. You know what? I enjoyed it. I mean, I say it's terrible because it's widely considered to be terrible.
Right.
Listen, there were things that, like, I have to think are terrible now that I actually liked as a kid. And there were things I didn't like as a kid that I have to pretend to like now. And not even so much pretend to like. Like, did you get any Ecto Cooler?
I didn't.
Are you
telling me I made the right choice?
Listen, here's the thing. I was so excited for Ecto Cooler. I got a 12-pack of it. Like, weeks ago. There's still some Ecto Cooler in my fridge. Just because
there was like a single pack, and you were like, whoa.
My dad,
the bigger size.
When I got excited, my dad was like, you know, it's just orange Hi-C, right? That's colored green. He's like, just buy some orange Hi-C and it's Ecto Cooler.
Right.
And I'm like, no. And then I started drinking it, and I'm like, huh, this is orange Hi-C, it's colored green.
Maybe your dad ruined that for you.
Maybe. But here's the thing. I remember as a kid, I always got Ecto Cooler in my lunch, and I would usually actually not even drink it. I would throw it out.
Why?
Because it was just orange Hi-C.
But
like,
why not?
Everybody that's geeking out right now, because Crystal Pepsi is back. I'm like, we all hated Crystal Pepsi.
Crystal Pepsi was like the bad that we compared all bad to for a very long time.
Right.
I don't know what to tell you.
That's why you I don't do Pepsi at all.
I feel like we need to do an episode of the Kev Kes Cast together, which is like the pop culture, like just kind of like talk show. Because I feel like people would get a kick out of us doing that. Like talking about things, like other
like,
things.
Like it would just be our normal conversation.
Exactly. Like we just kind of go from topic to topic.
Right.
Okay, so our last bit of news here for Epcot actually does impact you.
Okay.
Sunshine Seasons has discontinued breakfast.
Huh.
Did you know about that?
No. That's a bummer.
Yeah, it is now open 11 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Now, I mean, like, you were a fan of the Sunshine Seasons breakfast,
I did.
You?
I liked it a lot. I probably do it every trip.
I got to tell you, man, I didn't see that coming. Like, it was the best breakfast, like, the best quick service breakfast in Epcot. Possibly, you know, in all of the parks. Like,
I agree. I definitely think it was. All right. I mean,
how many quick service breakfasts are there? You got out of the resorts and stuff like that. But
right.
That Sunshine Seasons had great breakfast.
Yeah, I agree.
What was your go-to at Sunshine Seasons?
Oh, I don't know. We usually mixed it up, to be honest with you. Because we didn't really... They gave you a lot of food. So it's not like the four of us need to get four breakfasts. We
I used to get this, like, giant piece of, like, quiche.
Right.
It was, like... It looked like... It was, like, the size of a slice of pizza.
Right.
But, like, thick, too. It was maybe, like, 2 inches thick. So... It will be missed. Animal Kingdom news. Ready for that?
Yep.
So the Jungle Book show that has been not so much delighting people at Animal Kingdom for the last couple months will be having its final performance on September the 5th.
Okay.
You might be like, well, Kevin, I guess that means Rivers of Light is finally opening. You'd be wrong about that, Pete.
Okay.
And you should be ashamed of yourself. You want to spout wrong information, go on to the Extra Magic Hour. All right? Here on Two Men and the Mouse, we deal in fact. I'm just kidding. I love those guys. And Katarina's doing a great job over there. But yeah, so Jungle Book is closed, but there is still no update on the Rivers of Light.
Huh.
What was it with this Rivers of Light that it's going to probably be almost a year late?
Yeah, sometimes it just happens.
Yeah, but like what could be that difficult?
Now, let me ask you a question, because when I was there, they were building the seating structure. Uh-huh. Is that just all done?
Oh, that's all. There? It's all, yeah. Jungle Book has been performed in front of that.
Oh, okay.
Everything is built. Everything's built. They're just not doing the show.
Huh. Interesting.
And it's a really cool looking stadium. My sidekick actually works there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So if you were going in the fast pass line and you see Lexi, say, hey, aren't you Kevin's sidekick? She'll get a kick out of it.
A sidekick.
Yep. Okay, so also the operating nighttime hours have been extended into the fall, but with a vastly reduced schedule. So through September, the park has been closing at 11 p.m. since it opened for nighttime in May. It will now be closing at 9 p.m., Peter Mandel.
Okay.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, Hollywood Studios, ready for this?
Yep.
There will be a $500 Star Wars augmented reality experience offered up to Disney Resort guests.
Okay. Tell me about it.
You're sighing because you know you're going to have to do it.
No, I would never do it.
So Disney is launching a $500 in-room celebration later this month featuring an augmented reality Star Wars Rebels interactive adventure.
Okay.
Available for guests staying at Walt Disney World Resort hotels, the adventure begins with the resort room decorated with an Imperial recruitment banner when you arrive.
Okay, I like that.
The story goes that the Rebel Alliance has infiltrated the room, leaving gear and tech to help on a secret mission for the Rebellion. Through augmented reality on a smartphone, Ezra from the TV series Star Wars Rebels guides the player on an undercover mission, slipping on the included Imperial security officer disguise. They'll head to Star Tours, the Adventures Continues attraction, where hidden data they're carrying will be transmitted in hyperspace.
Keep going.
Once the mission's complete, they'll be directed to their resort room to unlock a mysterious box holding a Rebel Medal of Honor like the one in the film Star Wars A New Hope. So Chewbacca doesn't get one, but you do.
Right.
Theme park tickets are required and not included, as is an iPhone or Android device.
Okay.
$500 for all this?
That seems very expensive.
Not listen, not to be crass, but Disney, where do you get the metal to do this?
I will say
that better be a solid gold medal you get.
I will say this too, that you had better be the rebel spy when you.
Oh, totally. But like, what if there's more than one?
Yeah, listen, they got to figure that out. Because yeah. I'm assuming you get to definitely be the rebel spy,
Pete. $500 for what looks to be a tote bag, like an imperial tote bag, a T-shirt, a hat, a necklace. And a cell phone app.
Yeah, listen.
And then at the end, you get a medal. The thing.
But I mean, again, and I get it. And I'm all about Disney and their pricing, and I support them. But right idea, wrong price point.
You way could sell, wrong.
You could sell three times what you're going to sell if you made the price $300.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And by the way, $300, they're probably still making $280 on it.
You know what? I wouldn't say that much because a T-shirt at Disney. I mean, these are not like big T-shirts. Like there, it's right. Literally. Yeah, it looks like unless these are just actors wearing the same shirt. It looks like it is just a gray T-shirt with the Imperial Officer logo on the over the heart.
Right. Okay.
And a tote bag and a hat. Might not even be a full hat. It might be a visor. I'm not even sure what I'm looking at.
I mean, cool concept, but like I know, like, and Ethan, you know, loves Rebels.
Of course, I love Rebels. Everybody.
But I gotta be honest with you. Like, if we did this, I'm fairly certain that if we did this, and he was like, "Oh, that was cool," and I was like, "That was $500," and my son's 11. He doesn't even have too much concept of money. He'd be like, "What? $500?
$500? We didn't even do anything." I like maybe $100 for this.
Right.
150 if you want to take the whole like the T-shirt and the tote bag together are probably $50.
I mean, then the metal.
The metal, what, another 25? So that's like $75. Unless it's a gold metal, which it should be.
I'm sure it's not.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if maybe I just read this wrong or whatever, but like this seems egregiously gouged.
You know what, though? I mean, listen, it's the same thing as these crazy magic mornings and, you know, the prices now to go to, like, the Christmas party. I mean,
here's the thing, though. Every time insane. They try to do this, they don't work.
Right.
So, but you know what? There is a method to their madness. I've heard from plenty of people that, I guess, Disney just announced to cast members that they have seen, this year, they've seen record attendance. Record high profits with record low attendance.
Well, there you go. You know what the problem is? Disney would love to. I know everyone gets up in arms when they raise the prices for passes.
But they do it every year.
That's always been part of the thing. Disney would love to jack passes way up.
Yeah.
But they kind of can't because that really would anger people.
And I feel like they would. I feel like they want to do away with annual passes.
At Disney World.
Definitely.
Yeah. See, you couldn't do it in Disneyland.
No, probably not.
You know what I mean? But Disney World, I guess in theory you could do it. You know, but then again, their bread and butter is really the people staying at Beach Club. You know what I mean? It's not.
Right.
I can't imagine annual passes hurt them too much.
I don't think it hurts them. I just think they don't like them. Because like, they don't give their. Like, Universal and Disney, like, I know I've said this till I'm blue in the face, but, like, they don't give their annual pass holders anything.
Right.
You get into the but you know what? At the end of the day, all I need my annual pass to do is turn the little Mickey head green.
Yeah, they don't have to give you anything.
Yeah, they don't have to give you anything, but, like, I don't know. It's nice when they give you something.
Well, I mean, listen, in theory, they're giving you entrance to their park because if you had to buy passes like everyone else, you know, life would be different.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Like, I'd never ever be able to go. But, like, SeaWorld, like I said, SeaWorld gives you so much with the end. But, like, then again.
Of course. You know, I mean, any of those, you know, second-rate places are going to really try and entice you.
But I got to wonder if, like, they're in as good a shape as they're saying they are. Because, like, as far as like record low attendance, I mean, dude, it like this summer is nothing like last summer was. Like, last summer was packed, and this summer is like no one. And but obviously, that, there's been like current events and stuff like that have happened that are probably driving those down. But now they're starting to put out like, hey, annual pass holders, if you bring a friend, it's half price. Like,
yeah, but what they want? What's the optimum thing for Disney? More money, less people.
Yeah, and I agree.
Listen, there are tons of people. And I'm not, you know, not including myself here because I might actually be all right with it. If I could find out that I'm going this time and it's more money for my pass, but there's only going to be X amount of people there, yes. I'm fine with that. I want to go when it's less crowded.
Of course, everybody does.
Right. So, you know, that's their ideal.
But, like, do you kind of, I mean, and I don't know if this is really a Pandora's box you want to open, but, like, don't you kind of feel bad for the people who used to go all the time that can't afford it anymore?
I always feel like I'm like one step away from being that person, so maybe. Right. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like for a family of four to go now, it's you have to scrimp to go. You know,
right?
So we'll see. I mean, you know, something's got to give. Whether it's just less people go or Disney decides to stop with the hikes and charging $500 for literally nothing.
Yeah, but you know, the easiest way to answer that stuff is to not buy it.
You know what? Here's the thing. It's like, what if they charged $500 for me to play Agent P's World Showcase Adventure and then gave me a t-shirt?
Right. What's the difference?
It's really the same thing. I know it seems like we're being really down on everything, but like it's just like you. I feel like people need to get that observational, like, you know. And maybe we're way off. Maybe this is like the greatest thing ever. Maybe Chewbacca shows up at your house and lives with you for 2 weeks. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, listen. You know me. I like stuff like that, and I would kind of be like, I approach everything that you tell me in the fashion of would I do this.
Yeah, and you know, and if you'll do it, great. If not, you just don't do it. But
and this, I can't imagine for $500.
You know, and
first off, that my wife would ever sign off on.
Oh my God, right?
I mean, that's not an option. I would totally have to lie to her about the price. And second off, I mean, I don't know. Like, now I also really like merchandise and good meals, and I feel like for $500, I don't know, we could eat some pretty good dinners and pick up a souvenir. You know, it's just a lot of money.
Yeah, it is a lot of money. Well, I mean that and. You know, as we were talking about it, I mean, like, my mind was kind of, I'm like, well, listen, it's not like they're telling you have to do this. Like, it's an add-on. If you can afford it, you do it. If you can't, you don't. Man, like, it's just like, that's a lot of money for really not, like, $500?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
You know, and I'm surprised because I feel like you're really limiting your Star Wars market with Rebels. And I know Rebels is big, but
mm-hmm. Here's the thing, though. How many days of a park pass does $500 get you? Like, it's right. Got to be more than 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, yeah, probably like three or four.
Like a 6 day pass or something. Yeah, probably.
You think Rebels is too polarizing?
No, I don't know if, you know, I feel like if you did it Star Wars and Force Awakens or something like that, I feel like that appeals to everyone. Everyone has seen it. I don't know how many people are hardcore, like, Rebels people, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, they must know what they're doing. You know, they wouldn't do that if they didn't think it could sell.
All right, so that's the news. That's all of it.
All right. Yeah. That's some good news.
Yeah, so a lot of news, a lot of good news. And, you know, we're done a little early, so anything else you got on your mind?
Huh. Well, no, I'm happy your job's going good.
Thank you.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Nothing else, really. You? Have you had time to go to the parks?
No, not in weeks.
Yeah, right? I mean,
it's been a while, yeah.
Starting a new gig's always got to be.
You know what? I was never going to tell anyone this story, but I think maybe I'll tell it since we have some extra time.
You're going to tell on air?
Yeah.
All right, I like that.
I was hired by Walt Disney World.
Okay.
I applied for a position online. I went down to Central Casting and I went through an interview and I was hired as a monorail driver.
Okay.
And here's the thing. Like, and I know it's a lot of people's dream to be a cast member. It's not mine, Pete.
You know, I've actually always respected that about you.
I don't, everyone was like, oh my God, like people that knew, like close friends and family were like, you're going to be working for Disney. Aren't you so excited? I was like, no. Cause like, I don't want to be a part of the machine. I want to be a person who uses the machine.
Right.
You know, I don't need to be a part of the engine. I want to ride in the car.
Right. I get that. I've told you this forever. I mean, mm-hmm. I would never want to go and work there.
No, I mean, like, listen, maybe when I'm old and retired and it's just like, I want to drive the bus, like, maybe. But, like, and then, like, they told me that, like, after I got hired to drive the monorail, I'm like, well, I'll be driving the monorail. That'll be cool. They were like, oh, no. You don't get to touch a monorail control for 6 months.
Right.
You have to be on the platform. And I was just like, yeah, this isn't, like, thankfully, like, I was going to take it. Like, I was supposed to start traditions and everything. And then I got a call for an interview for the job that I have now, which I'm not going to go into specifics about what my job is, but I'm very, very happy with it.
Yeah, it's so, custom built for you. So.
Yeah, like, it's pretty much what I've wanted to do, like, my whole life. That plus the fact that book two, it, like, for us in any book two, is, like, due very soon.
Nice.
So, and listen, I know lots of people are probably like, you gave up the opportunity to be a cast member? Like, well, yeah, like, I have to think about my future. You know? Like, the part-time, you know, cast member job wasn't going to cut it.
Right.
So, besides, like, I don't know if they would have been, like, okay with the show and whatnot, and that's a non-negotiable.
Yeah, that's true. For a part-time gig, I mean.
I mean, I was worried about it. But, I mean, like, you know, really, what could, you know, I doubt they would have had a problem with it because we basically give them free advertising every week.
Right.
It's not like we're ever like, don't go. I mean, like, yeah, we'll be like, don't pay $500 to do the Star Wars thing. But.
Right. It's not like we call their decisions dumb.
We sometimes do that.
Oh, sometimes we do. Yeah.
But you know what? But we always, I feel like we're very fair about that. I feel like we always point out at the end that, like, you know, we're not in these meetings. We don't know. We can only go on the information that we're given.
Right. Well, listen, you know, I never feel like I'm, like, super negative about Disney stuff because I love Disney. So I'm pretty much,
of course,
you know.
Yeah, like, I mean, I love it, too. Like, you know, it's easy to kind of, like, see it through rose-colored glasses, which we've been accused of doing a couple times. But
right.
Listen, they are far worse than us that see Disney through rose-colored glasses. Let me put it that way. But I think we're quite realistic about it. So this has been kind of a random episode, I know. But yeah, so, like, I was super close to driving the monorail, Pete.
Huh. Good for you.
Could you imagine, like, if I didn't tell you, you showed up and I was like, hey, Pete.
Yeah, you were just, like, standing up there on the platform?
It's like, Kev, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm driving you guys in the monorail. And you were like, I'm actually waiting for the next one.
It's a step up from Uber to monorail.
I got to tell you, man, that central casting building might be, it's so, so, so cool. You walk in and there's, like, this grand rotunda, like, right when you walk in. And they have golden statues of Disney characters in the rotunda.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. The one that I remember the most was, like, there's, like, a golden Dumbo. Like, on top of a pillar. Like, these pillars, like, so it's a rotunda, like, a circular rotunda. And pillars, like, extend up towards the ceilings. And there's golden statues on top of the pillars. And, like, one of them is Dumbo. And then as you walk up the ramp, there's murals on the wall. And they're all, like, Disney characters doing various Disney jobs.
Like being, like, on the monorail platform?
Yeah, like someone's driving the monorail, someone's a lifeguard, someone's a bus driver, like, and then, like, in the middle, and, like, the big, like, on the left as you walk up, there's, like, a giant picture of Walt, like, in the middle of it all.
Oh, I like that.
It's really neat. And then you go up and you go to the desk and, like, you know, you give them your name and what time your interview is, and you go sit in, like, this waiting area that has computers and couches. They're playing Monsters, and they're like, and for your viewing pleasure, we have Monsters, Inc. for you. So it was pretty neat. Everybody was obviously really super nice. And, you know, like, it would have been cool to take traditions, but traditions is the class that everyone has to take when they become a cast member. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm happy, and I can just kind of, like, chalk this up to, like, an anecdote.
Yeah. No, I think you're better off.
I think there's one more topic we need to discuss before we end for the week.
Oh, what is it?
That Gilmore Girls teaser.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it?
I don't want to see or know too much.
Did you hear about it at least?
Nope.
Do you want to hear about it?
Nope.
Can I tell you a little bit?
No.
Just they're making, like, modern references, and I enjoyed it.
Oh, I would hope so.
It was only, but it, listen, I mean, it was like, you know, you hear the ba 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 da da, you know, like you hear, like, the ba 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 music,
right?
And you see, like, Stars Hollow through, like, different seasons, and it ends with literally, like, a 15-second clip of Lorelai and Rory talking about Amy Schumer and John Oliver.
Huh. You just totally went for it, even though I said don't tell me about it.
I didn't tell you specifics, but I will say John Oliver did respond to what they said about him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like a day later, he was a guest on Colbert.
Oh, that's funny.
And he responded to Lorelai. there's no way I could not talk about this with you. I don't understand why you wouldn't want to talk about it.
I'm so excited. That's going to be such a stellar weekend.
Yeah, I know. And it'll be a weekend because it's only 4 episodes.
Thanksgiving is my wife's favorite holiday, hands down.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even really close. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of family that comes over. And then to have Gilmore Girls.
Right, ready for that weekend.
At the same time. And then 6 days after Gilmore Girls to be maybe possibly going someplace that's, the happiest place on earth.
Oh, is that happening? You
know? I'm pretty sure, yeah. So, anyway, it's going to be a fantastic week there. Like, I can't wait,
right.
Between Gilmore and then other stuff. It's going to be really awesome.
The second best Disney park in the world.
I would love to tell you that Gilmore isn't the top thing on that list too, but it might be.
It might be. I started rewatching the series to get ready for this because November's coming. It's coming.
One of
the
channels is going to show all the seasons leading up to the 3 o'clock Eastern.
Who cares? Netflix has them all. You can watch them whenever you want.
I appreciate their dedication.
I mean, I get that, but just Netflix, that's all you need.
Yeah. Oh, I've watched them over and over.
I mean, I'm in the middle of, I think it's season, when does Jess show up? Season two?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of season two then.
Love it.
Yeah, once you mentioned to me that Lorelai is the worst character on the show and she is
the bad guy.
She's the bad guy of the series. I started watching it with that in mind, and oh my gosh, are you right? The lives that woman leaves just broken in her wake.
Yeah,
unbelievable how awful she is.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I'm a fan of every character on that show.
Yeah,
but I think people, view her she is the star and hero of that show.
No, Rory is the star.
Yeah, Rory's the star.
Because it's Rory's journey. Lorelai's journey doesn't Lorelai doesn't really have a journey. Lorelai is just kind of in her way.
Or
it's just
call Rory the good Lorelai.
Yeah, and with Lorelai, it's just kind of how many people's lives can I ruin and how many hearts can I break? And Max Medina, that guy probably huffed gas after that.
No, come on. He went to California, remember?
I don't remember what happened to Max.
He goes to California and teaches at, I want to say, Stanford for a little
bit. Jumps off the Golden Gate Bridge. Yep.
No, and he does okay for himself, wink, wink, in California.
Yeah, in California.
Listen, he's still in love. It's what do you go do when you're hung up on a girl and she does something like that to you? Are you still going to go back a second time? It's possible. Max clearly will go back with her.
Yeah.
It's weird. You want to smack Max in the face.
Maybe I don't, but... but yeah,
all those flowers. What flowers were they? What was her?
Oh,
the carnations?
Gosh. I don't even remember.
Remember, he fills the room with them.
Yeah.
Oh, that, let me tell you, that Gilmore season one is a treat.
It is, but even when I didn't know, I'm like, this Max, she doesn't like this guy.
I know. I know.
Well, I mean, also because the Luke thing was just kind of there,
Yeah, well, but there are people who are pro-Luke, people who are anti-Luke.
Oh, I'm 100% pro-Luke. I feel like Luke could do better.
It's funny. I was actually watching Flip Around Channels the other day and Seinfeld. And I love Seinfeld, but I don't have the need to really rewatch them all.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Seinfeld was on. And Heather walked in the room. I think she just brushed her teeth. And I'm like, hey, is that Luke Danes? And Luke Danes is sitting there.
On Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Yep. Was he one of Elaine's boyfriends or something?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God. Well, which one?
Spongeworthy.
That was Luke?
That's Luke, yeah.
Oh, now I need to go back and watch that episode.
It's just so funny. I'm like, look, there's Luke.
Is that Luke Danes? I can't recognize him without the backwards baseball cap.
I know. He had a lot of hair. It was crazy.
I'm sure that guy's an excellent actor, and he probably does a lot. He probably works quite a bit, but I don't want to see him be anyone but Luke Danes.
Right.
It's why everybody was are you going to watch Lauren Graham's new show, Parenthood or whatever the heck it was? I was like, no. I just wanted to be Lorelai Gilmore. When Alexis Bledel was in Sin City, I was just I don't like this.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
The only person that I could have seen doing other things would have been Suki. And she did. She ruined Ghostbusters.
I loved her in Ghostbusters. I could watch Emily Gilmore do anything.
I can watch her be Emily Gilmore. There was something else that she was in recently.
She was in Bunheads right after.
No, I didn't see Bunheads.
I didn't see Bunheads.
Oh,
either.
Never mind. No, I'm thinking about Lucille Bluth. Lucille Bluth was on The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, okay.
So, all right. Have we vamped long enough?
I think so.
All right, folks. Well, if you're still with us after all that, then that's going to do it for a very random, out of control, just got away from us episode of Two Men and a Mouse. I apologize for it. But hey, you know what? Every time we do an episode like this, Pete, people are like, more of that. We love when you guys just like go completely off the rails.
So. I don't believe that, but okay.
I think it happens. Please, folks, give our social media pages some love. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/twomenandthemouse, Twitter at twomenandthemouse, Instagram, WhiteDragonPN, Twitter, WhiteDragonPN, facebook.com/WDPodcastNetwork for the whole network. Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/twomenandthemouse. Folks, if you like Peter Mandel, check him out at roguecomics.com or at Rogue Comics, the physical location at 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016. Find a link to Pete's eBay store over there on roguecomics.com as well. If you're planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Adventures by Disney, any Disney resort throughout the known world, or Aulani out in Hawaii, look up our good friend and sponsor Dave Weichert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. If you want to apply the wisdom of Walt to your daily life, check out The Wisdom of Walt by Jeff Barnes over at thewisdomofwalt.com. It is the book that helps you apply the teachings of Walt Disney to your own daily life. And folks, if you're renting a stroller or crib in Walt Disney World, check out our good friends over at KingdomStrollers.com, who will deliver the crib or stroller of your dreams directly to your Disney resort. All right, folks, thank you for joining us again this and every week. Pete, any closing words?
No, I had a good time. Back in the saddle.
Back in the Batcave.
Yep.
Oh, Suicide Squad, right?
Yeah.
That's a show for another day. Loved that movie. Please, folks, keep the magic alive every day of your lives. We will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.
So you are the bird on the run, huh?
Oh, yeah. And I can't wait to get back to my real home on Sesame Street. I figure I can walk back there in, about 3 hours.
3 hours? More like 3 weeks, buddy.
3 weeks? Oh, no. I'll never get home.
Sure you will. You just got to keep going. Pick up your feet and follow your beat.
Oh, I don't know.
Listen to me, son.
I found out a long time ago. You got to learn to say yes when life says no. Don't dwell on the bad times once they're past. That kind of thinking gets you nowhere fast. 'Cause there ain't no mountain you can't climb if you hang on tight and just make up your mind. Once you set your heart to moving on, son, there ain't no road too long. Don't look back, don't you turn around.
Just keep your eye on where you're bound.
And you're bound to get from here to there. 'Cause a dream can take you anywhere.
Whoa, take me to cookies.
'Cause there ain't no mountain you can't climb if you hang on tight. Just make up your mind.
And once you set your heart to moving on, hut, hut, then there is no road too long. And you can count the telephone poles. One telephone pole, two telephone poles, three telephone poles, four telephone poles.
Oscar, this isn't Route 12.
Oh,
no. Oh, no. Oh, oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh.
Oh, well, we're gonna find him, all right, Bert.
Yeah.
Hey, you remember what color he is?
What?
He's yellow.
Honey.
'Cause there ain't no mountain you can climb if you hang on tight and just make up your mind. And once you set your heart to moving on, yeah, there ain't no road too long.
just make up your mind.
Uh-huh.
Once you set your heart to moving on,
sing it.
There ain't no